This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we wrap up a special Easter series called Expecting a Resurrection When Life Falls Apart. In these lessons, Pastor Rick walks you through the events of Jesus' death and resurrection, events that were no doubt frightening and confusing to those around him. Stay with us to learn how the miracle of Easter can take you from fear and confusion to freedom and joy. Now, in a little while, we're going to let you know how to get the 7 Greatest Words of Love DVD study kit, perfect for individual or group study. If you'd like to take a sneak peek while you listen to today's broadcast, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called How the Resurrection Gives Us Hope.
Jeremiah 29 says this, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He's saying that God's purpose for your life is a good plan. You're not going to run from it. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It has hope and purpose and future. In the next verse, Jesus says in John chapter 10, Jesus says, my purpose is to give life in all its fullness. You're not really living until you're connected to God. You're just existing. You were made for so much more than get up in the morning, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, party on the weekend. Jesus said, you're not really living. I came to give you life in its fullness. The key to your fulfillment in life is knowing your purpose in life. The next verse, Romans 8, 28, the Bible says this, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. When you're living out the purpose you were created for, that God made you for, God says, I'm going to bring good even out of the bad stuff in your life. I'll take all of, even the dumb stuff, even the bad decisions I make, even my mistakes, even my sins. He says, I'll figure that all out. I'll work it all out for good in your life because you're going for my purpose. That's a great thing. That's a great news. And then he says this, in Mark chapter 8, Jesus says, if you insist on saving your life, you're going to lose it. In other words, you're going to go with your plan, you're going to go with God's plan. If you insist on saving your life, you'll lose it. Only those who give away their lives for my sake and the good news will ever know what it means to really live. He's saying, you know, your plan is going to lead you to frustration. You're going to lose. By the way, how's that going for you? You've been going on your plan for your life. How's that working out for you? You totally fulfilled? You totally satisfied? Life's everything you want it to be? God says, no, no. You go with my plan, then you're going to know how to really live. But you can't go with your plan and God's plan at the same time. You got to decide which one you're going to go for. Your purpose in life or God's purpose in your life? You were made for so much more. And he says, only if you give your life away will you ever know what it means to really live. What's he saying there? You're not ready to live till you know what's worth dying for. Do you know what you'd die for in life? If you don't, you're not really ready to live. You know, after the resurrection, first tens of thousands, then hundreds of thousands, then millions of people became followers of Jesus Christ. Of course, as I said, now billions today. This scared the Roman Empire because millions of people were becoming followers of the resurrected Jesus Christ. There were just too many eyewitnesses. And it scared him to death. So the Roman Empire started what was called the Great Persecution. And for the first 300 years of Christianity, it was illegal to be a Christian. And if you made the decision to say, I'm going to become a follower of Christ, you were more likely to be fed to lions in the Colosseum or crucified yourself or beheaded. It meant ultimately probably certain death. People were signing their own death warrant by saying, I'm going to become a follower of Christ. Why did they become followers? Because of the hope, all the things we've just covered. You know, all but one of the original 12 guys, original disciples, every one of those guys were murdered except one, John. Stephen was stoned to death. James was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. Paul was in prison in Rome, and then he was executed. I want you to listen to the last words of Paul right before he goes to execution. He says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. This is the kind of attitude. Christians were fearless in the face of death. Why? Because they knew there was more to life than just here and now. You know, what baffled the Roman Empire was how unafraid Christians were to die. Paul says it like this: for me to live is Christ, and dying is even better. He says, you know, either way I win. If I'm alive, I'm just gonna live my purpose, the purpose that God created me for. If I die, I just get to go to heaven sooner. I can't lose. What do you do with a guy like that? Now, you know, today, American media doesn't report this, but about a quarter of a billion, about 250 million of those Christians live in lands where they are persecuted for their faith. In fact, about 90,000 Christians are killed every year right now. In fact, for the last 10 years, it's been over 1 million believers, Christian believers, have been killed in the last 10 years, over 1 million. There's still persecution going on today. But people go, why am I a Christian? Because I know there's more to life than just here and now. That leads me to the sixth thing of hope, and it's this. Here's the sixth reason we have the most hope: because we have an eternal home waiting for us. We have an eternal home waiting for us. We know, as followers of Jesus, that death is not the end. It's just a transition to better things. In fact, you're going to spend far more time on that side of eternity than on this side. Here on this planet, you get 60, 70, 80, may at the most, you're going to get 100 years on this planet. But on the other side, those who know the Lord, who've accepted salvation, it's trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of years of freedom. You know, the last of the 12 disciples to die was a guy named John. Actually, the Romans tried to poison him. He was the only one not martyred, but the poison didn't work. So they exiled John to a prison colony on an island called Patmos in the middle of the Mediterranean. And he actually lived to be quite an old man on the island of Patmos in this prison. And by himself there in his old age, he wrote the last book of the Bible, which is called the Revelation, and it is a vision of what heaven is like. What is heaven going to be like? Well, in a word, it's indescribable. It's indescribable. You and I trying to understand what heaven is like would be like a mosquito trying to understand the internet. We don't have the brain capacity. You see, here on planet Earth, we're limited by three dimensions. They're far more than three dimensions. They're dimensions we don't even know about. But we know it's going to be incredible. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be amazing. Why? Because look at the Earth. This is a broken planet. This is a fallen planet. Nothing works perfectly on this planet, and yet there's still a lot of beauty. Sunrises and sunsets and skis and mountains and trees and these beautiful flowers and the beaches and all of the beauty that God created on Earth. And this is an imperfect planet. Imagine what a perfect place is going to be like with all the sights and the sounds and the colors and the smells, where it's absolutely perfect, and the tastes that are there. You know, the problem with most people in heaven is because you have a TV vision of heaven. And on television and movies, they always show heaven as, first place, it's totally white. Now, why would God, who created all the colors, make heaven so boring as all white? And then you're walking around in fog up to about your knees. And you're wearing a white robe, and you've got angel's wings, and you're playing a harp. That would be hell! If that's heaven, I don't want to go. I'd rather just stay here and surf. Thank you. That's not at all what heaven's like. But the devil wants you to have this vision of heaven, like, so boring. We're all the same. The Bible says this about heaven, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no mind has ever imagined the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love Him. For those who love Him.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and had life-changing power. That's why Rick has put together an amazing 7-session DVD study kit called The 7 Greatest Words of Love. In it, he focuses on the last 7 statements that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross. These words unlock the full meaning and amazing blessings of Jesus' last words before his resurrection. Words of forgiveness, assurance, love, trust, and more. We'll send you a copy of the study kit to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get yours. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, call 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support. Today is the last day to get this awesome Bible study tool, so don't wait.
Hi, it's Pastor Rick with some big news. My daily devotional is now available in French. If you know somebody who would enjoy reading the devotionals in French, would you please email me and I'll send you a link to sign up. My email is rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Now let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
The Bible says this about heaven, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no mind has ever imagined the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love Him. For those who love Him. You know, I'll be honest with you folks. I've been a pastor here now for 4 decades. I have walked tens of thousands of people personally through their pain and their sorrow and their suffering and their sadness and their sickness. And the more that I see the earth with all of its abuse and, you know, affairs and the assaults and the rapes and the violence and the racism and the prejudice and the war and all of the bad things that we see, the evil, the terrorism, the more that I see of that in the world, in our broken planet, and the more that I have friends and family who've gone ahead of me into heaven. My mother and father are there. My older brother is there. I have a son in heaven. The older I get, the more heaven sounds like a good deal. And the more I look forward to it and the more I'm ready for it, I'm certainly not afraid to die. Now, this is why the resurrection gives us hope. These 6 things. Why we have more hope than anybody else on the planet. First, I am completely forgiven of everything I've ever done wrong. I'm going to go to bed tonight with a clear conscience, knowing that even the sins that I commit tomorrow and next year and in 10 years, if I'm still here, that they've already been forgiven and paid for by Jesus Christ. I am completely forgiven. Then I know that I'm not afraid to die, because I'm just not afraid to die. Then I have God's Spirit inside me who gives me the power to make changes in my life I could never do on my own. Habits and hurts and hang-ups and stuff that I don't like about myself that I never could change before. Now I have God's Spirit inside of me to give me strength to make these changes. I know that God will never stop loving me. It doesn't matter what happens in my days ahead. I know one thing for sure. God will never, never, never stop loving me. I know that I'm living the purpose that I was created for. And I know that one day I'm going to heaven without any doubt. I don't have any question about that. I'm absolutely certain I'm going to heaven. You know what my prayer is for you? Is that you would have that confidence. If you were to die tonight, are you certain you'd go to heaven? You go, well, I kind of hope so. Hope isn't good enough. You need to be certain. You need to be certain. And God wants you to be certain. God, I could help you develop that certainty today. I guarantee I can. And if you were to stand before God tonight and God says to you, why should I let you into my house? Why should I let you into my home for eternity? Do you know the password? Do you know? He said, well, I tried to be a nice person. Wrong answer. You can't be good enough to get into a perfect place. Heaven's perfect, and I'm not, and neither are you. You need a Savior. That's what Jesus came to do. If Jesus didn't need to die on the cross for you, then it was a total waste of his blood. There's only one way. Before Jesus went back to heaven, he said to his followers, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, don't get discouraged. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm betting my life that Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, is not a liar. What are you betting your life on? My prayer for you is that you will simply open your eyes, that you will today have a moment of clarity that maybe you've never ever seen before. 1,000 years before you were born, God knew that on Easter Sunday, you'd be sitting out on a lawn on a nice spring day in Southern California at Saddleback Church, just so he could get you to pay attention for a few seconds so he could say this to you. I have known everything about you from the moment you were conceived. I saw you formed in your mother's womb, and I've loved you every day of your life. There's never been a moment of your life when I was not paying attention to what was going on. I've seen the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I've never stopped loving you. I have a plan and purpose for your life. I want you to have your past forgiven, have a purpose for living, and have a home in heaven. But you have to trust me. I made you to love you. And I want you to learn to love me back. I want you to learn to know me. I want a friendship and a relationship with you. You may be thinking, well, it's a little late for me. It is never too late to give your brokenness to God. And we're all broken. We're all broken. Would you like to begin a life of contagious hope? God has been preparing you for this entire moment. And so what do? The Bible says this, Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's what Easter's all about, you will be saved. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. What does it mean to say Jesus is Lord? It means to say, he's God and I'm not. God is God and I'm not. Lord means you have a right to lead me because you are my creator, you are God. God is God and I'm not. That's what it means to say Jesus is Lord. He's the manager. He becomes the CEO of my life. I put on a sign that says I'm under new management. Jesus is my Lord. He is God in my life. I'm going to invite you to pray a simple prayer with me, but it's a very different kind of prayer because I don't want you to bow your head and I don't want you to close your eyes. I want you to keep your eyes wide open, and I want to invite all of us to read this prayer aloud together. Now, there's nothing magical or mystical about these words. What really matters is the attitude of your heart. If you mean it, it's important. If you don't mean it, doesn't mean anything. But this prayer begins with the word, "Dear God, today." So let's read this prayer aloud together. Just look at the screen and make this, keep your eyes open, make this your prayer. Let's read it aloud. "Dear God, today, I accept all that Jesus did for me on the cross. Thank you for forgiving everything I've done wrong. Thank you that I don't have to fear death. Please put your spirit of love and power in me. Thank you that you never will stop loving me. I want to live for the purpose that you created me for. I trust you to take me to heaven when I die." Now, if you didn't mean that, it didn't mean anything. But if you sincerely meant it, this is a big deal. This is called the moment of salvation for you. In fact, let's congratulate the people who meant this and prayed it for the very first time. Congratulations. Welcome. Welcome to the family.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so glad that you're with us today. And if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. The words that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross hold the key to finding fulfillment in your life, career, and relationships. That's why Rick put together a powerful 7-session DVD study kit called The 7 Greatest Words of Love. Get it now and unlock the full meaning and amazing blessings of Jesus' last words before his resurrection. Words of forgiveness, assurance, love, trust, and more. The study kit includes 1 7-session DVD and 1 workbook and is perfect for individual use or to study with a small group of people. We'll send you a copy to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Today is the last day to get this awesome study tool, so don't wait. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to introduce you to Agatha, who's translating Daily Hope into German for her husband. She writes, "Pastor Rick, your preaching is bringing many souls to God. My husband, who is an unbeliever, is drawing closer and closer to God. Every day I translate what I hear on Daily Hope into German because he can't speak and understand English. Pastor Rick, your teaching has changed his life, and I can see his progress and eagerness to follow Jesus." Agatha. Well, Agatha, thank you so much for sharing your story with me. This is a wonderful story to hear that you're translating what you hear on Daily Hope for your husband and that he's growing closer to Jesus. I'm so happy for that. We're always looking for translators to help us in new languages as we take the message of God to more people around the world. So you will keep praying for your husband and you keep praying for us that God allows us to take the good news of God's hope all around the world.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program has been sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.